Welcome to the Quick 10 Podcast, brought to you by QuickTrack, focusing on all things FedCon and cyber defense from different perspectives and different personalities, all in 10-ish minutes. Here's your host, Derek White.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of the Quick 10 Podcast here on a lovely afternoon. I am joined today by Steve Pratt, the CISO and Director of Programs at Centaur. Centaur is a FedRAMP recognized third-party assessment organization and authorized CMMC third-party assessment organization. So, Steve, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I haven't seen you in a while. And we caught up a little bit before we recorded. So the world's different than it was last time we saw each other in person. So, you know, it's we'll get right into it on this one because the topic today is going to be around CMMC pitfalls and some of the lessons learned, because here we are going into quarter two of 2025 here pretty soon, and the assessments from the CMMC perspective have begun. So we want to focus on that. A little familiarity real quick before we get into things too, is that we are familiar with Centaur here at QuickTrack and Beryllium, because you guys were the FedRAMP recognized 3PAO that we used for our FedRAMP moderate equivalency assessment. So it's a little bit different than what we're going to be talking about today on the CMMC side of things. But the assessment world is daunting, right? Nobody really wants to go through those things, but that is the reality of the world. But we're going to look at it today from the perspective of the contractor, the organization seeking certification or assessment, and or both. So first question, and the topic of the day, I think a lot of people love hearing the success stories and love hearing when it works. And as these certifications get further announced and the certificates are handed out, what about the flip side on the common mistakes that government contractors are making when they prepare for CMMC? Run through some of that.
Well, the first thing we see is often the scoping is not prepared correctly. So we do a scoping call in the phase one of the assessment first, just to get an idea of what we'll be assessing, what the environment looks like. And there's actually a level one and a level two scoping guide that's posted out there that everyone should be able to get on the official sites that describe how to scope your system. In this, there are four categories of what is in scope, and then there's an out of scope category as well. It talks about what devices should fit under each category, how they should be categorized, and then what will be assessed out of each category. And these are your CUI assets, your data protection assets, your contractor risk managed assets, and your specialized assets. And what we're typically seeing in the assessments we've performed so far, I would say more than 50% of them are not either not looking at that guide or not following it and categorizing these assets. And this really needs to be done the first step before you do anything else when prepping your system.
And safe to say, this is a common theme at event I was at last week, having a lot of conversations like this, is the scoping guides are, you know, a large improvement to where things were a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, that's why we needed them. That's why they're there, is to use them as reference. When it comes down to incorrect scope or missing on scope, is there anything that sticks out when a contractor, maybe again, the contractor that doesn't have all the reasons, they don't have Steve internally, right? They don't have six or seven full-time people internally, maybe the smaller side of things. Do you see a commonality on where they're missing that scope and kind of why?
Well, if they have a scoping guide at all or a scoping diagram at all, it's usually just that they haven't followed the correct way of doing it. They haven't categorized those systems. We have seen some that say, well, everything is in scope, and that can be a little challenging too. You know, that mm-hmm. you don't want to overcommit if you don't have to. If you can simplify that scope, if you can identify those things that can be segregated from from your CUI assets. The more you simplify the system that you're getting certified, the easier it's going to be on you, the more likely you're going to succeed.
Do you see then, probably safe to say, I mean, do you see the boundary definitions, the boundary controls being part of that hard to make a scoping diagram match because some things were missed? Or do you think it's a matter of not asset inventory or maybe data class, you know, is it or is it not? Does any of that play into those things that you're seeing prior to getting into the assessment?
It does. It's mostly been the categorization that we've seen, but we have also seen where it's not clear where the boundary is or how it's protected. You might see a line to an external system that's going around a firewall, and it doesn't. You have to ask, well, you know, how is that happening? How is that protected? Does it go through the firewall or not? And often, you know, you find some holes in the way they've implemented things just in that scoping call.
Right. And then, you know, you're starting to peel back the layer there on who's responsible, right? On those, let's say, we'll call them oversights or not enough depth and an explanation. If that's an internal versus an external thing, that kind of opens up another layer of miss, right?
Right. And you bring up a good point. You know, the ESPs, the external service providers, that's another pitfall that we've seen. If the ESP does not understand CMMC, they don't understand the requirements that you're under, then that can, you know, often they won't have the data that's needed or the people or the knowledge on how to answer those questions. Having your ESPs on standby during your assessment, let them know that you're being assessed. That that I've seen multiple times where during the scoping call, we ask what ESPs are in scope, and you know we'll get a list of names. We'll ask, will these people be available during the interviews? And we're told yes, and then we show up for the interviews, and they haven't talked to their ASP or they're that first day they're trying to coordinate when they can come in for us to be interviewed. We had one that couldn't get their ESP that week to be interviewed, and you know, if they don't if they can't show up or speak to their side of what they do, then you're left a little choice, but to fail them on those controls. Having a shared responsibility matrix is a huge thing. That's a must. That's the basic thing that we need to determine what is contractually obligated by the ESP versus the OSC. And, you know, we've had one client that did not have a shared responsibility matrix, and they spent, off, you know, part of the week telling us what their MSP did for them. And then we get their MSP in the call and they're saying, no, we don't do that. You know, so there's holes in what's being met there. So that's another huge pitfall that could easily be fixed by having that conversation.
Yeah. A little bit of an indicator maybe of the importance of a mock assessment or prep assessment to
exactly
where you start specifically before you schedule with the C3PAO, whose time is very valuable right now because everyone's stuffed to the brim, right? And that will fix itself as time goes on here. But more importantly is, are you ready? Is a kind of a broad question to a lot of people. So if it's a matter of, and we've seen a lot of these in the last, you know, 2-3 years, people that are proactive is do a mock assessment on a couple of control families. You know, start with two technical ones that you know that the focus is going to be on, because it really does come down to scope. It comes management responsibility, all that kind of stuff. But then pick a couple, and this is my next question, was going to be how is it going? What are the pitfalls or what are the examples that you've seen on the non-technical stuff? Not just, you know, maybe start with administrative things like the documentation and stuff, but also the physical when it's not a technology responsibility. How is that playing out?
Well, the documentation is another place where we often see some holes. You know, the the assessment objectives, many of them say that something must be defined or identified. Typically, we will see these defined and identified in your either your SSP or your policies and procedures and plans. And oftentimes they're not, you know. So the next assessment objective after a defined is usually determine that it's implemented as defined. Well, they may have something implemented. They may be meeting the control from that stance, but we can't determine that it's implemented as defined if they haven't defined it. So the SSP is the, I would say the most important document, with the second being your scoping documentation. But oftentimes the SSP does not match what they're doing, or it's out of date, or they've made a change and didn't update that SSP. As far as physical security goes, we haven't seen too many issues with the physical security, other than things not necessarily being labeled as such. You know, if a printer or a shredder is approved for CUI, if it's not marked such, they may state in their documentation that that's done that way and then it's not, or that it's labeled properly and it's not. Oftentimes visitor access, they may state that visitors are escorted at all times. They may in actuality have situations where, if a visitor meets a certain defined criteria, they don't need to be escorted. Sometimes they'll have that implemented, but they won't define what that criteria is. Some people might receive a no escort required badge where the others do not. And we really need to see, either way can be compliant, but you need to define how you're doing it and then do it as you've defined it.
Right. And that's again, something very common, and I think more focused than ever since these assessments started, and even before. If you listen to the right people and you are at the right places to hear this, is the controlled and covered space, right? It's defining that, operating within that. It seems like so simple, but then sometimes I think, especially as people make changes and the culture shifts to this being real and this being something that you don't want to be on that list of pitfalls that you didn't pass, yeah. Right? We don't want to see that. That doesn't help anybody. C3POs don't want to see that. That's why the scoping calls and these steps prior to even spending time with someone have to be in line, which is good. Final question then, where's some tips where, besides scoping guides, which, those are available and a quick Google search, if you go to the DoD's and CMMC page to get those, what are some other tips you can let everybody know right now that's watching or listening to double check, dust off if you have to, make sure, triple check if you have to before moving towards a prep assessment or making sure before you call a C3PAO?
Yeah, I'd read through your SSP, make sure that it is accurate. You're not listing people assigned to roles that left the company 6 months ago. Don't overcommit. Define what you do and do what you've defined. As I said a minute ago, if you are meeting the requirement, you've met the requirement. But if you meet the requirement and then say you do some extra stuff, we have to assess that you're doing what you stated. And oftentimes it may not be a requirement, but you stated you did it. And so we have to verify that that's what you're doing. So don't overcommit where you don't have to. To avoid delays, if you haven't talked to C3PAO yet, please go ahead and do that. There's a handful of us and there's 70,000 contractors that are going to need to be certified. Schedules are filling up. We're about 3 to 6 months out now. I've heard other C3PAOs, some of them are out to a year. Even if you're not ready to be assessed, go ahead and talk to C3PAO, find out when they're available, get them on contract and lock in a date. We're we will schedule out, you know, 2 years from now, if you'd like, you know, so you know, but it's good to go ahead and have that locked in. Work with a consultant or an advisor where you can. You know, QuickTrack's a great product. I'd recommend, you know, you guys talk to these guys and see where they can help and where they can make things easier for you and simplify, take some of that load off of the OSC, help them, you know, prepare. All this is a great thing. The ones we see that go the smoothest and the ones that pass usually with no POAMs or where they have hired a good advisor to help them prepare.
Yeah. So just to recap that, and then we'll wrap here is, you know, scoping guides are out there for a reason. Reference those, map to SSP, make sure you're going through your system security plan, review that maybe two or three times. Also then customer responsibility matrix or shared responsibility matrix, as they're called both. But also, you know, if you're using cloud service providers, you know, CSPs with cloud service offerings is a little different than external service providers based on how they fit into the responsibility and the controls and assessment objectives. So that is important. And we always tell people, ask, yes, having consultants is great. But if you have people internally that are committed to this, ask the questions out loud, sit in a room. Say, if I read this out loud to you, you may, and you're not responsible, but you know who we work with, do you think they have that answer? And put together kind of a decision matrix if you have to on these are the things that we need to be clear, because that's not really me or you answering that question. It's somebody else, and make sure that that's tight. And that actually goes a long way. So we've had that be, it's a spreadsheet, put a spreadsheet together. The things you're not sure, get answers. And to me, that helps with the confidence, right? That helps with the mock assessment. And I know a lot of people are trying to rush to having the C3PAO assessment, even though it's not in their requirement yet, kind of a thing. Be cautious with that. You know, make sure you're ready. It's good to have it. It is a great thing to have. If you can get it and you can demonstrate that, that is a massive differentiator for sure. Everyone knows that by now. But cloud service providers, you know, it could be using a tool. It could be somebody you bought a license from, you don't, and you think you have the FedRAMP version and you don't. Right, that could be a huge miss. And right, who's going to answer that question when you? I mean, it's yeah. So all of that's good. So I know we could spend a lot of time talking. The problem with this podcast, if you will, is it's great short conversations. People can reach out and talk more. Where would people go if Steve at Centaur wants to talk to people? People want to reach out to you. Where do you want me to send them?
Send them to me. I go by Steve, but my email address is actually Stephen.Pratt@centaur.com. Happy to provide that to you. I'm happy to talk with anybody. You know, we'll, if you're ready to go ahead and contract with us, we can get you a quote. If not, I'm happy to talk with you, just give you tips and tricks, you know, along the way.
Yeah. Love that. Well, thanks again for being on. Really do appreciate it. For those that this is the first time checking out one of our episodes, this season two for us, we have a whole bunch coming out that we're doing some unique things throughout the year, which is pretty exciting, but it becomes one giant knowledge base. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch these on YouTube. And if you do have questions, you can always go to our website too. And if it's about what Steve and I just talked about, I'll make the connection. One of our team members will make the connection. But that's a great way to say it at the end there, Steve, is that people that know that the outcome is what we want is people to pass. You should know pretty quickly whether they know what they're talking about or not. And they're happy to help. Doesn't always have to be with who you're talking to. If there's a great direction to send them, let's send them there. So thank you again for the time, Steve, and for the kind words. We don't tell people to say anything about us, so thank you for that. But you know, we'll stay in touch. I'm sure we'll see each other around. And if anybody sees Steve at events and stuff, stop, talk to him. You've got great insight, easy to talk to, and obviously great experience on these assessments, so you can help people figure out how to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No problem. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and make sure to subscribe to the Quick 10 Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out on YouTube as well. For more information about QuickTrack, visit our website at www.quicktrack.com. That's C-U-I-C-K-T-R-A-C.com.